verses 1 through 4. And we're going to kind of jump around, but this will be the main focus or the main our main text this morning. And we are going to talk a little bit about persecution. Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll answer a couple questions. Number one, why Christian persecution? Why does the world come against Christians so much? And what do we do? What do we do as believers in the face of persecution? What do we do when our brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering for their faith in Jesus Christ? Hopefully we will tackle those questions, but either way, we're going to grow in our knowledge and in our relationship with the Most High God this morning. Oh, Father God, we love you. Acts 4, 1 through 4. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Let's pray. You can look at today's headlines. There's just so much Christian persecution going on. So thank God that Voice of the Martyrs and other organizations are out there to remind us, hey, that we have family. Do you hear what I said? We have family that are suffering because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. So I picked out this little story in Scripture. There's tons of places we could have went to today, but just want to focus a little bit on Peter and John, the apostles, Peter and John, as they're going to the temple to worship. There is a beggar, a lame beggar, a guy that hasn't been able to walk since birth. And as they're walking up to the temple, this guy, this beggar, who's always out there asking for alms or a financial blessing of some sort, Peter is pulled towards him this particular day, and he says, look at me, guy that can't walk, beggar guy. He says, paraphrased, he says, look at me, I don't have any silver, I don't have any gold, but what I have, let me give to you. And he raises him up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So this guy who has never been able to walk, his life is completely changed. And now he's walking around and leaping and just having a great time. He is a changed person because of what Jesus Christ did for him that day. So after this healing of this lame beggar, Peter and John are teaching in the temple grounds. And so the Sadducees and the other religious leaders converge on them because they are furious about their message and they're furious about what they just did. So that's where we're going to pick up today, Acts 4, verses 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Now, it's important that the Sadducees were part of the group that converged on Peter and John on this particular day, because as we know, the religious elite of the day in Israel was kind of broke up into two main factions, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees believed in a resurrection of the dead. They believed in a life after death, but the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection of the dead. So all of a sudden, we have Peter, we have John talking about Jesus Christ and the resurrection or eternal life. And the Sadducees are furious about this moving forward. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Verse 2, greatly annoyed the Sadducees, the religious elite, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So why church persecution? Easy answer, because Jesus promises life. Jesus promises a resurrection. Jesus promises eternal life. But he doesn't just promise, he proved it at the cross. Remember, on that first Easter morn, Jesus rose from the dead, defeating death. And so we, as Christians, we have this wonderful, amazing promise that we will never face God's wrath. Amen? We will never face God's wrath. That doesn't mean everybody in the world's going to like you. That doesn't even mean that you're not going to face man's wrath or man's judgment. That's where persecution or Christian persecution comes in, because the world doesn't understand us. The world doesn't get us. And so there's persecution because our Lord and Savior promises resurrection. Our Lord and Savior promises eternal life. Matter of fact, Jesus said this. You won't find this in the bulletin. Jesus said this to Mary and Martha when Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus died. Jesus arrives after the death of Lazarus. He arrives after the funeral of Lazarus. And Mary and Martha are just heartbroken because Jesus wasn't there in time to save their brother Lazarus. John 11, verse 25. This is what Jesus said. Everybody listen up. John 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If we belong to Jesus Christ, okay, we will, more than likely, you're going to face that earthly death. You're one day your heart will stop beating. We're very much aware of that. Okay, we understand how that works. But as a believer, we take our last breath here and we immediately open our eyes in the loving embrace of our wonderful Lord and Savior. And that is the true message of the gospel. And that's why the world hates Jesus Christ. That's why there's so much church persecution, is because Jesus Christ gives hope. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus Christ gives hope. So imagine living in some impoverished nation or some third world nation or some communist nation. Okay, a lot of these regimes, a lot of these people in power, they do not want you to believe in anything that gives you hope. They don't want that. They hate that. They're going to persecute that. They want you to have all faith in the government or all faith in the state. They want you completely dependent on them. So we have church persecution because Jesus Christ gives hope, because Jesus Christ makes these amazing promises. And we're blessed this morning to live in America. Give the Lord some praise. Greatly annoyed, the Sanhedrin, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. See, that's how you get eternal life. That's how you have the resurrection right there. It's only through Jesus Christ. So you can follow any philosophy, you can follow any other religion, and a lot of the world's not really going to give much of a care about that, because that doesn't lead to eternal life. And we know that that's a dead end. At best, it's a dead end. But you worship some of these false gods, and we need to understand something, that these false gods are anti-Christian, that they hate the Most High God. Anyways, moving forward, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Verse 3, here's the persecution coming in. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So Satan brings on persecution. Satan and his minions bring in persecution. But what I really, 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 really want you guys to think about right now is, because if we look in the Bible, specifically look in the book of Acts or the Pauline letters, we see where the gospel is proclaimed, the gospel is given out, the good news is preached, and then what's going to happen is there is some sort of opposition, some sort of persecution to the believers or those that have proclaimed the message. So the word is given, then there's some sort of persecution, and then there is a huge harvest. There's a huge harvest that always takes place after that persecution because of the endurance of those that believe in God honoring that. So we see the persecution taking place in verse 3, and they arrested them and put them in custody. Now look at verse 4. See, this is really, really cool. The persecution comes. These two apostles who were just teaching about the good Lord, who were just giving the gospel, who were just used to raise this crippled beggar up, and now he can walk, Now they're being thrown in the slammer. They didn't do anything wrong. They were just doing what God had told them to do. Remember, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all men, baptizing them. But look at verse 4. But many of those, see, there's the persecution. Now check it out. All God's people say, check it out. Verse 4. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. That's a pretty good church service right there, man. That ain't too shabby right there. But see, that's another reason why Satan and his minions hate to talk about Jesus and how they want to squelch or squash that name, which is completely impossible. Look what the Roman Empire tried to do. And somebody tell me, where in the world's where's the Roman Empire right now? Okay, so Christianity outlived and is continuing to grow in China, where persecution is so severe, you would think in our natural way of thinking, well, there must not be very many Christians over there since the penalty is so severe for them. But no, the church in China cannot be counted, not just because it's underground, but it's just millions upon millions of people are coming to Christ on a daily basis. And that's all throughout the persecuted world. There's something about being in a hopeless situation and somebody brings you the good news of the gospel. It does something to you when somebody says, I can give you hope, not fake hope, not false hope, not talking about a government check or a government bayonet. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about actually being loved by the sovereign God, creator of the universe, who cares about you. When all the nations say you're just one of many, you're just part of a big machine, you got to worship the government. It's all about the state. And then here's the gospel that says, no, you are loved by God. He loves you so much and he cares about you. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. And look how this whole thing started today with our message. You know, what did these guys do? They just blessed a crippled beggar. Acts 3 and verse 8, and leaping up, this is the guy, once he got healed, we're talking about right now. Why persecution? Because the name of Jesus Christ gives hope. The name of Jesus Christ promises eternal life. The name of Jesus gives life, man. Think about it. You are not who you used to be. You are not who you used to be. I'm not who I was last year. Thank the Lord. I'm not who I was 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. I'm certainly not the guy that most of you never knew. There's a couple of you, but whoop, there it is. Ain't nothing you can do about that, but God is good. God is faithful. Acts 3 and verse 8, and leaping up, this dude has never walked, man. He was crippled, man. That's what he means. That's what that means. He can't walk. Peter, through the Holy Spirit, heals him. Or the Holy Spirit heals him through Peter, okay? And now he's walking. He's a changed man. That's what the gospel does. That's why Satan hates the good news. That's why Satan hates Jesus Christ. And Satan doesn't really care if you're a Buddhist or a Hindu or into Hare Krishna or some crazy philosopher from ancient times. He could care less about that, man. He's got you occupied with some dead end. But look at here, the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. I'll get it. Excuse me. Never mind. I always say that whenever I hear a phone ring. Anywho, all you young people don't even know what that means. Remember, we all know what that means, man. When the phone ring in the hallway or the kitchen and you're expecting a call, I'll get it. Dad, I got it. Anyways, moving forward, Acts 3 and verse 8. And leaping up, this dude explodes up. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them. Now, check this part out. Entered the temple. So he's following. He's hanging out with Peter and John. But see, check this progression out. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them. Check this part out. This is my favorite part. Walking and leaping and praising God. This dude's life has been changed and he is so appreciative. You know, And sometimes we got to just pray, God, return to me the joy of my salvation. Let me remember what has been done for me. You know what I mean? But this dude, check it out. He's not just walking with Peter and John. This guy's like bouncing off the walls. He's like leaping. He's acting like a little kid, man. You ever been walking with a little kid or something and they're like jumping off of stuff in the grocery store and pushing a cart and they're going to like run over somebody or something? Like, calm down, man. You know, this dude is going crazy because his life has been changed by the good Lord Jesus. Give the Lord some praise. Now look at what the Apostle Paul says about persecution here. Remember the Apostle Paul, man, he's like the poster child, the poster boy for Christian persecution. You know, he went through so much just because he was serving the Lord. But look at what he says here. This is a powerful verse. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 9. So he's talking to his protege, Tim. For which I am suffering, bound with chains, as a criminal. See, I'm bound up. I'm in prison. I'm chained up like a common criminal, okay? I am sequestered in this prison. Let's see, check this out. For which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. Check it out. But the word of God is not bound. But the word of God is not bound. Give the Lord some praise, seriously. That is such wonderful news, isn't it? And so when persecution hits a community or hits a nation, you know what I mean? And they try and stop the spread of the gospel, it is impossible. It cannot be done. You know, the Pharisees, the religious elite of the day, they thought if they could do away with this man, Jesus Christ, that would be the end of this short-lived revolution that was attacking their religion. Okay, well, that was the exact opposite of what happened because the Holy Spirit entered the situation. Remember, Jesus said, I got to go, but the Holy Spirit or the Comforter is going to come. So instead of having one man, not that Jesus was just a man, okay, but it was usually geographically the ministry. If you're around his ministry, you would be healed or you might be healed if you are around his presence or his person. But now we have 11 apostles, then 1,000, then 5,000 and growing and growing and growing of people filled with the Holy Spirit. And even though persecution came onto Jerusalem, what did that persecution do? It scattered them around the globe, basically put them everywhere. Put them everywhere. And so you have 1,000 brush fires that can't be stopped. And you squash one and three more start. And that's the amazing thing that God does. Remember, in the furnace of affliction, settle down. Be cool, man. Be cool. In the furnace of affliction is where God makes his man. I don't know why, but that's God's method. That's God's method, man. It's in that furnace, it's in those trials, it's in those storms that we grow to rely on God, that we cry out to him like never before. We grow in that relationship and we realize he really is everything. It really is all about him. Give the Lord some praise. And let's go to the next slide. So, same situation here, same story. Peter and John arrested. They're pulled before this council. And we're still working on this question. So why persecution? Why Christian persecution? Look at Acts 4 and verse 10. This is so cool. See, and you talk about why persecution. Look at the life change of this guy, Peter. You know, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, this guy is a stick of dynamite. He's a powerhouse. You read after Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit, this dude is giving these amazing sermons, and he's looking right out at the Pharisees and those that had a hand in putting Jesus Christ to death, and he says, you killed him, man. Talk about boldness. Just a little earlier, he denied Jesus Christ three times. That's the life-changing power of Jesus Christ, and that's why Satan and his minions cannot stand the name of Jesus. Acts 4, verse 10. Let it be known, this is Pete, Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by the way, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ain't scared of you guys no more. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. There's that eternal life thing again. Whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. See, that's the thing. The ungodly, those that would come against the cross of Christ, those that would come against the power of Jesus Christ, they can't stand the fact that there is hope, that there is something that is out there, this life-changing thing that is so real, that we are so blessed to experience. And then we have our brothers and sisters who are literally paying with their lives. You know, they're paying with their lives. Some of them can't get jobs. They're persecuted, ostracized, all that. And they can pay with their lives, man, just because they love Jesus Christ. But see, the beautiful thing about it is, man, is there's power in that name. And look back at your life. Look back and see how God has been there for you and how, you know, praise God, we're not the people we used to be. That's the life power. That's the power of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you guys are all rotten scallywags or nerdy wells or, you know, anything like that, man. Okay, but we're on that sanctification station ride, man. More of God, less of me each and every day. We are blessed people. Let's jump down a little bit. Well, let's skip a verse and go to Acts 4 and verse 12. Now, check this out. Why persecution? Acts 4 and verse 12. Look at this. Look at this right here. And there is salvation in no one else. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven. There's no other name. Look under a rock. Go to the bottom of the ocean. Look for your golden tablets in the side of a mountain. Read what Spinoza said or something like that. But look, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's the meat and potatoes right there, man. That's why there's persecution. There's power in that name, man. There's power in that name. There's hope in that name. There's life change in that name. There's eternal life. We become something we were not. Instead of just being self-consumed and just thinking about me, myself, and Irene, we're, you know, preach it now. Preach it. I mean, we're working for the Lord Jesus Christ, man. We are his servant. I no longer serve Satan. I belong to the Most High God. I'm about his business. Can I get a witness? Look at Acts 4 and verse 18 right here. This is all the same. You know, the same. They're being questioned by the religious leaders. So they called them and charged them. So this is what they figure out in this little baby piece of persecution where they spent the night in jail and now they're summoned to talk to these guys. And they say, so they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. See, that's what it's really all about, man. You can talk about all kinds of crazy, loony-toony stuff, man, and you'll get a platform on network TV, man, if you stir up enough. You know, if you do a little something, man, there's just so much ridiculous craziness out there, you know, sign of the times, whatever you want to call it. But, man, it's just cuckoo city down there. You know what I mean? And see, but if you talk about Jesus, and that's what they're saying. We don't care if you go out there and, you know, feed the homeless or try and build a little orphanage or something like that, you know. But, hey, don't talk about Jesus. Matter of fact, we'll let you have a 5-minute spot on the college radio station if you just talk about something nice and fancy and just don't mention nothing about Jesus Christ. We don't want to hear nothing about Jesus Christ. Why? Because that name gives life. That name gives hope. That name gives salvation. Okay. And so they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Verse 19. This is good. This is really, really good. This is like push your neighbor to make them wake up good. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than the God, you must judge. Here's Peter again saying, hey, God sees this. We're in the sight of God. Doesn't matter where we go. He knows what's going on here. I'm not going to deny him. Now, if you got a problem with that, Pharisees, Sadducees, Sanhedrin, temple guards, if that's your thing, well, you got to do you. You got to do you. You got to do what you think's best. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You. So verse 20. For we cannot speak, but speak of what we have seen and heard. Peter's saying, dude, you don't understand. I was the mayor of downtown Nowheresville, man. I was a fisherman, okay? I thought everything was all right, okay, here we go. But then this man came and he changed my life. Okay, I'm not who I used to be, and I've seen so much. I know too much about it. You cannot make me deny him. I will not do it. I am going to proclaim his name no matter what it costs me physically. Can I get a witness? All right, let's go to the next slide. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that actually was the next slide, wasn't it? So what do we do? Let me backtrack all right. So look, so right here, what do we do when faced with persecution? What do? Well, we don't stop our day job, man. We don't give up. We proclaim what has been done in our life, no matter what. And look at 1 Peter 4 and verse 19. This is really, really cool. 1 Peter 4 and verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will. Sometimes that doesn't really sit well with us, you know, suffering according to God's will. Well, let's understand this, that God has to sign off on what you're going through, but he's doing it for a reason. Sometimes we don't understand what he's doing, just like when you take your little kid to the doctor or to the dentist and like, why would you treat me this way? It's like, no, you don't get it, but you'll get it one day, you know. We got to go through this. But look, 1 Peter 4:19, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will. Let's look at it like this. Those of you that are not suffering, you know, we Christians don't need to be suffering for being thieves, murderers, liars, okay, that sort of thing. And that's not a trial. That's you dealing with your own consequences of your selfish behavior. Can I get a witness? He's talking about if you suffer for obeying God, if you suffer for letting your light shine, if you suffer for being a Christian, therefore let those who suffer according to God's will, what do I do? Entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. Entrust, just like Jesus did as he approached the cross, Father, your will be done, not mine. I'm putting my life in your hands. I know you know what's best for me. Okay, entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. Now check this part out, while doing good. In the middle of persecution, God says, this is not the time to hide your light underneath a bushel, but let your light shine. Continue. Like, here's Peter. Peter, you know, in front of this council, he could have been like, all right, yeah, all right. We had a pretty good run there. You know, did okay. we won't do that anymore. No more Jesus talk. He couldn't do that, man. He knew the life-changing power. He knew there was a fire burning inside him, man. He's like, no, I can't do that, man. Okay, this is why I exist. This is why I have been created. This is why I was born in 19 whatever, and I got from 19 whenever to 2000 whenever to let my light shine, to give God glory. You can't sideline me, man. This is what I'm here for. Can I get a witness? Okay. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. Now look at this. What do we do in the face of persecution? Acts 4 and verse 29. And now, they, what did they do? They went and prayed. They said, God, we're not quitting. We're not quitting. We know that this is what we've been called to do. God, give me the strength to move forward. God, give me the boldness to move forward in the face of my possible death, you know, or, you know, give me the strength and the hunger to do what you'd call me to do. They're praying, and that's what we got to do. We got to stay in the scripture. We got to hold on to God's promises, and we got to spend time with the Most High God and let him build us up. Okay. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. This is their prayer. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants that they never, ever, ever mess with us ever again, and that we have quiet little lives. And I'll put a little devotional Christian track in the bathroom of Whataburger, and we'll just call it a day. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants, and bless, thank God for that guy, whoever that is. There's a guy that goes around putting Bible tracks in restaurants, and all the time people in town are like, you that guy, ain't you? You that cat that puts in Bible verses in front of the urinals. It's like, no, that's not me, man. Oh, yeah, it is. Let God be true. Tell the truth. Like, no, man, it's not me. I dig it, but it ain't me. You wash your hands when you do that. Man, it ain't me. I don't know. Anyways, move forward. Because I'd wash my hands. Hygiene is important. Acts 4 and verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Give me the boldness it requires in this world, in the face of persecution and opposition, to proclaim your good news. Okay, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, us right here, you know, so, I mean, there's some like amazing statistics. Yeah, every now and again, I'll look at stuff like that. We get Voice of the Martyrs and stuff. And so something like, wow, you know, I wrote it down, I think. Oh, here it is. Check this out. Worldwide, 13 Christians a day are killed worldwide because of their faith. 13 Christians are killed. This is the World Watch List. 13 Christians a day are killed worldwide. 12 churches or Christian buildings are attacked every single day. Every day, 12 Christians are unjustly arrested or imprisoned. 5 Christians daily are abducted. So this is what's going on. Africa, Asia. You see little tiny bits of it over here. But we got it so good. We got it so good. And God gives us this charge right here in Hebrews 13 and verse 3 because we do have it so good. I'm not saying we don't have problems. Lord knows we do have problems. But one thing's for sure, right now, today, I can go and stand on a street corner and talk about Jesus all day long, and somebody might make a little joke about me or say something mean or rude or crude, but you know what? No guy in a police suit, no government dude, no group of flash mob cats are going to grab me and beat me to death. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Well, okay, but look at Hebrews 13 and verse 3, because this is our family. And this right here is like a, if we read this verse and meditate on it, chew on it, it's like there's a little bit of a pinch there to it for us. Remember those who are in prison. Let's think about our persecuted brothers and sisters. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them. Imagine if you were in prison just because you're a Christian. You don't know if you ever see your wife or your loved ones, your children ever again because you're a Christian. Matter of fact, you don't even know what's happening to your wife or your husband or your loved ones. You're in prison just for being a Christian. Think about that, you know, because that's going on in other places in the world. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them and those who are mistreated since you are also in the body. So the sentiment or the, what I'm getting out of this verse, man, is put yourself in these people's shoes as best as you can. put yourself in those people's shoes and imagine the agony, the torment, the mental anguish, the physical torment that is going on in, with them just because they love Jesus. And let that do something to us over here. Can't we offer up a prayer? Can't we say, God bless these people? So the next time, you know, someone teases you because of your Christian shirt or something like that, let's just remember the words of Peter, not from our story today, but in the next chapter in Acts 5, when he's in the same situation, with the disciples, with the apostles, because he would not stop. They would not stop proclaiming the good news of the gospel. Okay, and each time the persecution gets a little more severe, but each time there's big fruit to be harvested. Look at what Pete says, and let's apply this to our hearts as we move forward. Acts 5 and verse 29, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. You're not just an American, you're not just a human, but you are a sinner saved by grace. You are now a saint. You belong to the Most High God. You've been saved by Jesus Christ. And God says, go into all the world and make disciples of all men, no matter what the cost. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We praise you.